Would you please stand with me as we turn to Scripture? We're looking at 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 5. Three short verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16 from the Christian Standard Bible. This is what it says. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Simple, right? Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, we do come into your presence, Father, thanking you for this wonderful worship experience. Thank you for the prayers and praise that leads to this moment. We ask now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our understanding and make us receptive of this word that you have for us this morning. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you please be seated? Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to say something this morning about pray constantly. Verse 17, praying constantly. For some background to this letter, you should understand that this letter that was written to the church, the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, were among the Apostle Paul's earliest letters. So after his conversion, his earliest letters, these are among his earliest letters. During this season in Paul's ministry, Paul fully expected for Jesus Christ to return during his lifetime. And we know this by the language that he uses in chapter 4 in this very familiar passage of Scripture where Paul speaks of Jesus' return. He says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Then he says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air." We know from the language here that the Apostle Paul fully expected to be alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ. This letter was written over 2,000 years ago, and it really emphasizes the Christian doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. And today, with all that's going on in the world, we are reminded about what Jesus said about the last days. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer and you've read your Bible, you can see evidence that we are closer to the end than we were last year. Amen. Jesus said that we can expect that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and famine and pestilence in diverse places. All that Jesus spoke about and what Paul had to say about the last days are upon us right now. And I don't know how you feel this morning, but from the looks of things that are going on right now, it makes me feel that the end time is near. Now, that's just me, but it looks like to me that the end time is near. I know that Jesus said no one except the Father knows when the end will come, but it's evident if you look around that the end is quickly approaching. In this letter to the Thessalonians, Paul offers words of wisdom and instruction to this young church that had recently confessed the Lord as their Savior. He gives them some words of wisdom. He says to them, while you're waiting for Christ and his coming is inevitable, his coming is imminent, he says, while you're waiting, do what you can to love one another. You need to read the chapter. Do what you can to love and to support one another. And then he says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So for our lesson this morning, I just want to lift verse 17. Pray constantly. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to take the opportunity to tie this verse into Acts chapter 2. Because we've been looking in the past at Acts chapter 2, we looked at the fact that the early church members, those first disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of the bread from house to house, and to prayer. So prayer in Acts chapter 2 is the fourth discipline that the early church practiced. And I know that you know something about prayer. Everybody in here, if you have ever prayed, would you just... Everybody in here knows something about prayer. Prayer, simply, as you know, is talking to God. For those of you who may be a little shy about prayer, you need to understand that it is simply talking to God. But the thing about prayer as it is used in this text is that it is a special kind of intimate communication between the spirit of the person which God has made alive and the spirit of God. See, anybody can talk to God, but when you communicate with God, it's special and intimate. We can't say that God doesn't hear the prayers of a person who we call unsaved. That's between that person and God. We have nothing to do with that. That's a personal conversation. But what I want you to understand is that when you pray, it's special. When you pray, it's intimate. When you pray, it's the spirit that God has made alive in you that's communicating with the spirit of God. That's special. That's meaningful. When you and I approach God, we are speaking to and speaking with and talking to our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus says to the disciples, when you pray, say our Father. When we pray, we are talking to our Heavenly Father. We are born into His family through faith. And prayer for us is communication that is made possible through our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His name gives us power in prayer. He taught us to pray. He says, when you pray, call my name. When you ask the Father, ask in my name. And so He gives us the authority. He enables us to pray. So He enables us to pray to the Father. The Son gives us permission, and it is in His name that we pray. And then our prayers are delivered by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes and interprets and presents our prayers to our Father. God always hears the prayers of His children. He always hears your prayers. And when we don't pray right, don't worry about it. Because the Holy Spirit takes that prayer and shapes it into what it should be. And then present it to the Father on our behalf. Aren't you glad about that? Because sometimes I don't even know what to pray about. Sometimes I could be so pressed in my spirit that the only thing I could do is bow in His presence. I don't even attempt to talk. But the Holy Spirit interprets my disposition. He interprets my position in the presence of God, and He knows exactly what I'm saying by the way I am postured. Prayer. Prayer is an act of faith that requires faith. Prayer presupposes faith in God. For anyone who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Prayer indicates that you have faith in God's power and in God's goodness. Amen. It's an indication that when you go to him, he will release some power that you would not ordinarily experience, and that everything that God does on our behalf is out of God's goodness. Prayer indicates that we have faith in God's power and in God's goodness. We pray not only because we believe that God is, but we pray because we believe that God is listening. And that he's able to respond to prayers in ways that are best for us. And we believe that because we do believe that God is good all the time. And that all the time God is good. We are to pray with confidence because we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Prayer gives you power to persevere in whatever situation you find yourself. Have I got a witness this morning? Sometimes we find ourselves in a hard place. We pray that God would get us out of that situation. And however, it may not be God's will to change your situation. It might be God's will to leave you in it. God always hears and answers prayer, and he may not answer the way you want him to answer, but if you pray constantly in faith, depending on the Lord to give you what you need, I'm a witness that you can make it through. Have I got any witnesses this morning? That if you continue to pray, that if you pray constantly, that God will bring you out. Amen. We remember Paul writing about this situation that he called a thorn in the flesh. Any of y'all remember that? He said, he wrote it down in 1 Corinthians. He said, 2 Corinthians, he said, I have a thorn in the flesh. He said, it's a messenger from Satan. And it buffeted me. It irritates me. It keeps me pressed. And I want God to do something about it. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but he was praying to God, asking God to move it. And how many times have you prayed to ask God to move something? To move on your behalf. To get you out of something, to lift something from your life. Paul here prays that God would remove it. And the Bible says he prayed constantly. He prayed sincerely. He prayed reverently. And God said no. That's an answer, y'all. God said no. I will not change your situation. Paul understood that his thorn was there to keep him humble. But there are times when you and I might not know why God allowed trials to come into our lives. And as baffling as it may be to you and I, God says to you and I, like he says to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I want you to be confident of this one thing, that whatever you're going through, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, trust me. I know it feels uncomfortable. I know that it might be difficult. I know you don't understand it right now, but trust me. I will keep you in every situation. I'm able to uphold you. I can make it for you. You can make it through without falling apart because my grace is sufficient. You know what he means by my grace is sufficient right there? You know what he means? Grace in Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about unmerited favor. It's unmerited favor. Grace here is God's will and ability to give you and I what we need no matter what we're going through. That's what grace is here. Grace is the power to persevere. Grace is God working on the inside while things are working against you on the outside. God says, no matter what the situation is in your life, my grace is sufficient. A hallelujah goes right there. You can make it through without falling apart. And here's why. God says, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you feel like you are at your weakest, I want you to know that God is at his best. Prayer. Prayer. Praying constantly, let God know that you are thankful to him and that you are dependent on him. Don't get so self-sufficient that you no longer need to pray. Don't be so self-confident that you no longer need to lean on Jesus. Prayer is letting God know that you are thankful and that you are dependent upon him. To pray constantly in the text, pray constantly. It means to pray with steadfastness. It means to pray with resolve and in loyalty and faithfulness. It's not begging God to do something. We don't have to beg God. Your children don't have to beg you to do anything. They might beg you to do something that you have told them you're not going to do. But you don't have to beg God to do anything. You don't. He is willing. We are not to go to God demanding anything from God. It's the wrong attitude. He's already done more for us than we deserve. So we don't go demanding anything from God. To pray constantly involves thanking God for his goodness. Amen. I heard Reverend Bowman praying this morning a long string of thanksgiving. That's what prayer is. Prayer is thanking God for his goodness. It's thanking God for his grace. Do you ever just thank God for being God? Thank God. Just thank you, God, for being God. Thank you for being immutable, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the constant in our lives. When everything and everybody, including my own body, is changing, God remains the same. He is the constant. Thank God for always being. He's eternal. Reverend Bowman said it this morning, he's Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. That was Brother Max saying. He's the beginning and the end. He is sovereign. He is eternal and omnipresent. Wherever I am, even there, God is present and active in my life. I could be down and out, God will be there. I can be strung out, God will be there. I can be put out, God will be there. There is nowhere where I am that God is not. If I go to the highest mountain, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. Everywhere that I am, there God is also. Thank God for his being. Thank God for his being. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his unfailing compassion. The songwriter said, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thank God for his mercy that endures forever. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? prayer constantly. Pray constantly. Thank God for being God, and then thank God for what he does. Thank him for the necessities of life, for the tangibles, for food for the table, clothing for the body, friends and family. Thank him for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Have I got a witness this morning? For the ability to get around, for the sunshine and the rain, for the cold and the heat, for his blessings, for his favor, for his resources to live on. Pray constantly, letting God know how grateful you are, and then tell him that you know that you need him. Brother Mac hammered that home this morning, didn't he? We need you. We can't get along without you. We need you. It's like the old deacon used to get on one knee and raise that hymn. Lord, we need you. Every hour I need you. Y'all remember that? You get on his knee. We need thee every hour. Y'all know that? Oh, precious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. Y'all know that? I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Yeah. Give God some praise up in here this morning. I need you every hour. I need you every minute. I need you every second of every single day. I need you. If you're going to pray, don't worry. Being constant in prayer means you don't worry much. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Making our request to God does not guarantee that we will get what we ask for. That's not what the text says. The text simply says prayer with thanksgiving. Make your request known. You can make it known. It doesn't mean that God's going to give you what you're asking for, but it does mean this, that the peace of God will give you, will pass all understanding. Amen. It means that you can pray, you can ask, make your request known, but don't worry, because when you pray, God gives you peace. And the peace that God gives you is not like the peace of the world. The peace that God gives you is godly peace that surpasses all understanding. So while you're walking around in the same situation with your neighbor, and your neighbor is gloomy and fatal and despair and distress, you can walk around in that same situation with all the things happening to you, but there's something different at work in you. The peace of God is at work in you, because you know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know that trouble won't last always. So you're looking forward to what God will do and can do. Make your request known. Prayer gives us the power to transcend despair, depression, and disappointment. Amen. Honest to God, it does. It gives you the power to transcend despair, depression, and disappointment. You may not be able to see your way through. Just know that God is sovereign and ultimately in control, and that we walk by faith and not by sight. By faith. I know that every event in my life is divinely ordered. By faith, prayer keeps me focused on Jesus. Prayer is vital, indispensable, and often undervalued and underestimated spiritual discipline that can change the trajectory of your life. Some people use prayer as the last resort, but prayer should be the first result, the last result, and punctuated in between. Jesus prayed before he began, he prayed while he was at work, and he prayed again when it was finished. Finally, my brothers and sisters, praying constantly helps me to remember what the Lord has done. Amen. Whenever I go to God in prayer, he always shows me what he's already done. If I have a problem in prayer, he already showed me how in the past he solved greater problems than these. If I have a need and I go to God in prayer, he shows me how in the past he's already met my need and given me more. So prayer helps me to remember what the Lord has done. Whenever I go to God in prayer, he always shows me what he's already done. I am reminded that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. Have I got a witness in the house this morning? God gave you more than you asked for. God made a way for you that you did not expect. God is always doing above, exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. He forgives our iniquities. I'm like the psalmist in Psalms 103. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't you ever forget what God has already done for you. He has forgiven all iniquities. He has healed your body. He has regulated your mind and mended your wounded spirit. He has redeemed you with the blood of Jesus, reconciled us into our relationship with him, and restored our right standing in his presence. He has done great things for us. Is there anybody here today that's not ashamed to give God praises for the great things that he has done for you? Is there anybody in the house this morning that's not ashamed or afraid or too arrogant to give God praises for what he has already done? Amen. So come with me. Since I know that God is, and I know that Jesus saves, and since I know that God's plan will ultimately come to pass, I will trust in the Lord. Have I got anybody here this morning that's willing to trust in the Lord? I will trust in the Lord and be of good courage. I will pray constantly, give thanks in everything, because this is God's will in Christ Jesus. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Come on, give God some praise this morning. If you're thankful and you know it, you ought to give God some praise.